go talk to Mark Huell, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association. He is standing by in the Metro Health Sports Medicine guest line from the MHSAA offices in Lansing. Mark, what's the latest when it comes to masks and what sport they are required for at Michigan high schools?
Well, good to be with you, Bill. The governor did issue a new executive order, Executive Order 180, so we're talking 180, that did give some further guidance regarding face coverings. So face coverings are no longer required when kids are in active participation in cross country, in golf, and in tennis. Those were the three lower risk sports. They've been competing now for weeks, so the requirement 180 does remove the facial covering requirement for those three sports. That same order did create requirements for students who are participating in football, volleyball, and soccer. The one other sport I'll just mention, swimming, of course, is exempt from this when kids are preparing to enter the water. They're in the water, but at times where during a meet they're on deck and not actively participating, that face covering should be on in those indoor pools. So that's the easiest way, Bill. It's the face covering requirement does not exist for cross country, for golf, and for tennis. Swimming, of course, is not included in that, but the three sports this fall where face coverings are required of all student athletes are in football, they're in soccer, and they're in volleyball.
A couple questions that I've had from student athletes and parents. When the order reads face coverings, is that would a shield inside a football helmet, would that qualify?
So the orders, you know, there's different definitions and different orders. That again, has been one of the challenges that Governor Whitmer has had. And, you know, over 6 months, you have lots of different orders that cover, you know, no pun intended, cover face coverings. So at least the guidance that we're giving schools, again, we didn't get any input into the order. We have no ability to waive or to ignore or to modify the order. But what we are able to do is we're able to give our schools some guidance. And currently that guidance is that any secured face covering that is made of cloth or fabric, you know, so the old school mask that, you know, hooks around your ears, that's going to comply with EO 180. Anything of the variety of the neck gaiter where that face covering can be pulled up over the nose and the mouth area, that would be another form of that legal face covering. When it comes to the sport, the one fall sport to where helmets are worn, a full, I think they're called the splash shield or a splash guard, any helmet that has the full shield on, which goes from the top of the face mask to the bottom of the face mask, our guidance is that would also comply. And then we're also seeing some items that would be attached to the face mask that actually are made of cloth that do cover the nose and mouth area, but it's actually affixed to the inside of the helmet, and that would be that would comply as well. So I'm sure there's some other products out there that you know, haven't reached our office yet, but we are getting guidance out to schools yet this afternoon that will hopefully give some direction to items which right now are completely clear in a number of different orders.
That is good news when it comes to football, getting some clarity on what can be done, and attaching that cloth inside the face mask would really help with the ear situation and also wearing the mouth guard. I had a soccer parent ask me a question last night. Okay, if my son or daughter playing youth soccer, and again, you're not speaking on behalf of youth soccer, but we'll just talk about boys soccer at the high school level. If they're in the after a play, like a free kick, and they're by themselves, and there's no one around, and they want to drop the mask, not take it off, but just, you know, catch a breath of air, fresh air, are they allowed to do that in game?
I think there has to be some common sense that enters in to any situation. And certainly that one, Bill, you specifically mentioned makes an awful lot of sense. How about during football, during a timeout, and we head over to the sideline, I would think the mask would need to be pulled down or removed so a student could get a drink of water, for example, or times that during a halftime to where somebody needs to use a restroom facility. Just some of those very common sense things, I think folks have to allow. But in terms of the order itself, when it comes to you know, during active participation, even during those times we're not actively participating, sports do have some different guidance, and like I said, we'll continue to try and give some guidance and direction and add to some definitions for schools as best that we can. And of course, the biggest challenge is this isn't, you know, a rule or a regulation of the MHSAA. So we're going to try and be as provide leadership and be as helpful as we can, but ultimately we don't have the ability to modify or ignore or to do anything with those orders except make sure that our policies are following those and our member schools are doing the same.
Now, your ability to make rules connected to masks did come into play with officials. They won't be required to wear a mask while officiating this fall. Am I correct on that?
Well, you are. So I think what's important, you got to back up. Our guidance that's been on our website since July, that guidance for adults and for athletes that aren't in uniform and aren't participating actively in any contest, masks have been on the table since July. So that is going to remain unchanged. It would make very little logical sense if athletes are required to wear a mask in certain sports, but yet an adult stat keeper sitting on the bench or standing on a sideline would not be required. The one group of adults that we did have to give a little bit of leeway to are officials, because in two of our fall sports, soccer and football specifically, there are times to where an official has to keep up stride for stride with a soccer player who maybe breaks out in front and is going on a breakaway, or that sideline football official that, you know, has to remain close to stride for stride with a 17-year-old who is now broken free and is threatening the goal line. So in those cases, officials do have just a little bit of latitude, but for all the other times, so during pregame, going over to check in with coaches, during a coin toss or any of those preliminary type events, during a halftime, those kinds of things, officials are going to be just like everybody else. They're expected to wear it. But when they're involved in active officiating, when social distancing can't be maintained at all times, that's going to be the guidance we're giving officials.
Mark Huell, Executive Director of the Michigan High School Athletic Association, joining us here on the Metro Health Sports Medicine guest line with an update on the mask situation when it comes to student-athletes and everybody connected to sports. One final thought, could there actually be like mask timeouts where in a game there's an extra timeout added where the kids catch their breath for a second? That was brought up by Vicky, who's listening in Detroit, in Novi.
We were just having that what-if conversation here with some staff members, and a mask timeout is one of the suggestions. So that absolutely could be a time where it might be an added timeout, or in soccer. Again, depending on the weather and the heat and a lot of other factors, that is something that absolutely officials and game management could just spell out in advance. Certainly you don't want that to be at the end of the fourth quarter, say in football, when a team is out of timeouts and now we're trying to stop the clock. It needs to be at established and set times that make some sense, but absolutely that could be a way that just yet another example of kind of a COVID accommodation here as we work through fall sports during these most unusual times.
All right, quickly, and I know you have to go, but if it's raining in a boys soccer match that's outdoors and the mask, the same concept that comes to swimming, you're not in a pool, but if it's pouring rain or light rain and that mask is totally wet, it can be protected by a football helmet. With football, that's a different animal, but is there any rules or any guidance on if it's raining during a boys soccer match, what do they do with a wet mask?
policy, and that would fall under that, I think, Bill, the same category of using some common sense based on the conditions and the circumstances on a given night. So what we're finding is, you know, in these times, it's hard to write absolute rules that are going to fit for every particular situation and every particular location, and there has to be some ability for the game administration and the officials to be able to apply some logic and some common sense for situations, and that's a good one, as you suggest.
Well said, Mark. Thanks for the update from the Michigan High School Athletic Association offices. We will stay in touch.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, Mark Huell from Lansing. I like the common sense. I like the ability to not defy the governor's order, or orders plural, but to have common sense in some situations. I like the mass timeout, especially for youth sports. I mean that. For youth soccer, for youth volleyball, the younger kids, there should be an extra couple of timeouts, a half, where they adjust the mask, they maybe switch it out if it's getting sweaty, however they do it. Mark is an amazing leader. And just the words common sense. Boy, if we just use some common sense this entire year, Michigan and America might be a better place. That's Mark Huell joining us on the Metro Health Sports Medicine Guest Line.